I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Guru Fedaini, goni, 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 goni. No sé si el color de la piel, pero señalándose el brazo. Lo aprovecha Nico para empatar el partido. En el último minuto de la primera parte, se señala el brazo, quizá también el color de su piel. Fuera los racistas de los estadios, empata Nico Williams.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's our match day 33 recap. Things are getting closer now. Everything's looking pretty settled. Almeria's relegation was confirmed this weekend. Everything else still to be confirmed officially, but we have a pretty good idea of how things are going to look come the end of the season. I'm your host, Matt Clark, delighted to be joined once again by Roman Darker, who's recovering from his cold. But Roman, how are you feeling today?
Hey, Matt. Thankfully for the pod, I'm in good shape now. I think I'm almost recovered, so have the energy to talk about what happened during this weekend with you.
And plenty did happen. Plenty happened. Lots of intriguing games, some big wins, some important victories, some off-the-field stuff, which we must address, of course. So let's begin at the Metropolitano, because on the pitch, at least, it was a massive six-pointer in the race for top four. Atleti knew they had to avoid defeat pretty much to keep that cushion. And on the pitch, it was a very good result for them, winning 3-1 against Athletic. Correa and Unai Simon own goal in the second half, sealing the victory after Rodrigo de Paul's opener was cancelled out by Nico. We'll get onto that in just a moment. But in general, Roman, a big win for Atleti, putting 6 points between them and Athletic.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted Athletic Club to get the win here to give, you know, excitement till the very end for that fourth spot. And have Athletic Club, of course, in that fight. But we know that Atletico Madrid are a tough team at home. And in this case, you know, they didn't let this occasion pass them by. And they got the 3 points, which they really needed. And Athletic Club, on the other hand, just haven't really reacted since they won that Copa del Rey. It's been draws, defeat against Atletico de Madrid. And also, let's not forget that draw where they were against 10 men with Villarreal, you know, where they were expected to win. But since that Copa del Rey win, it just kind of feels like the players maybe don't have the same maybe energy, passion. I don't know. Maybe they think like the season is kind of over because they've achieved what was probably most important for them this season, which was probably the Copa del Rey over the Champions League positions, I'd imagine, for the players at least. And now they just don't seem capable of, you know, that final push maybe to try and make it a spectacular campaign. But I mean, it's still going to be a really good one from Athletic Club, and no matter what happens in the end, they're going to guarantee European competitions.
Yeah, four without a win now in the league, either side of that final. Yeah, haven't won a game since middle of March. Obviously the penalties, penalty victory in the final was, of course, their absolute pinnacle 40 years on from their last title. I think it's, yeah, for them it's a shame in a sense that they couldn't put up a little bit more of a fight, because Atleti, as you say, have been a bit, well, very poor on the road, but it is that home form which is really forcing them into that top four, because what is it now? That's 15 wins out of 17 home matches for Atleti. They're very much using the Metropolitano as a fortress, and that looks to have given them a big step. So, yeah, 6-point advantage with only 15 points left on the table.
Sorry, in fact, they have 22 wins this season as a local team in all competitions, and their record is 23 wins in the 13-14 season. So they're just one win away of achieving their record, or, of course, they might have the chance to surpass that. So that comes to show how strong they have been at the Metropolitano. And unfortunately for them, they haven't made the most of that, because if they'd been consistent away from home, maybe we would be talking about something more. But unfortunately, it hasn't been that way.
Yeah, Celta and Osasuna, their final two opponents at home this season. So quite possible they will indeed break that record for home victories. We do know, of course, Girona being the surprise side, that Atleti are more than likely to end up in fourth, but only fourth. And it'll be rare to see them outside of the top three. I guess we can come to discussing Atleti a bit widely, maybe in a couple of pods of time. But just in terms of the scenes that we heard in the stand behind the goal, some racist abuse directed at Nico Williams. He then scores a goal and celebrates very pointedly by, you know, pointing to his arm and you know, owning, saying, this is my skin, this is who I am. A very, very bold and brave celebration. But once again, we have to condemn the chance from some Atleti fans.
I mean, a great celebration on his behalf. I mean, he has to be proud, of course, of who he is. And that's how it should be. And it's quite annoying to see this happening so often. Apparently, yeah, there were those monkey chants that Nico William heard. And of course, he was bothered by that. I mean, at this stage, after all that's happened, do we seriously have to keep on going with this topic? Can't people kind of start behaving, you know, at some point? It's never going to do any good. If anything, Atleti will get sanctioned, or maybe, like happened with Valencia, part of the stands might get shut down. People who don't do anything to anybody, just want to enjoy the game, might not be able to access the stadium for a while because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many idiots who were doing these kind of things, you know. And I mean, also Atleti have been involved in too much of these racist comments, to be honest, recently. I mean, they are obviously racist in all clubs, in all stands, in all stadiums, but it's true that Atleti have been quite in the focus in this aspect a few times, with Vinicius, now with Nico Williams. I mean, something needs to be done here, because it's just not what we should be talking about, you know, right now, for example.
Yeah, absolutely agree fully with your words there. Moving on to Real Madrid, they played on Friday night to maximise their rest time for the Champions League semi-final first leg against Bayern Munich. We spoke about Imanol's comments in advance of that game in the midweek pod. And I mean, Real Madrid rotated it a lot. I mean, Kepa played in goal. There were many rotations. Hossel, who started. Arda Güler was the one who scored the only goal of the game. And Real Sociedad gave up a good fight, but Madrid won yet again in the end. In terms of the title race, if Barcelona fail to beat Valencia on Monday night, then by my maths, Real Madrid will win the league if they beat Cadiz next weekend. So it could be as soon as next Saturday that Real Madrid are hearing the bells and crown champions. As for this game, though, Roman, it was great to see David Silva being so honoured by his former teammates and, of course, all the Real Madrid players who respect him as an immense figure in Spanish football. So great to see him being honoured before kickoff. As for the game itself, do you think Real Madrid just did what they have done all season, just get results?
Regarding David Silva, I have to say he's one of my all-time favourite players. So obviously I'm also very happy to have seen him, been paid that respect. I mean, such a talented guy. And yeah, I mean, it's Madrid, you know. Incredible how they just manage to get the results they need, always, and especially this season. You know, that there have been obviously good moments and moments of great football, but there have been so many games where you feel like they could have done more, their opponents could have taken more advantage of certain situations, but in the end they just have this capacity to pull through, to get wins, to get points. And maybe this was a tricky game, because as you said, Ancelotti rotated, I don't know if maximum two or three maximum of those players will start in the next game. I don't even think that as many. So that comes to show that Ancelotti was clearly thinking on the midweek game in the Champions League. He didn't really mind what would happen against Real Sociedad. But still, the players are focused. Arda Güler, the few times he's come on, he's scored goals, he's performing, etc., etc. So, I mean, if you have a squad that's fully focused like that and fully capable of responding when they're needed, then this allows a team to fight for titles. And in the end, this is what's happened for Real Madrid, fighting for two very important titles. But let's be honest, I mean, even if Barca win all the games, I think Real Madrid is going to win the title anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be next weekend or the match after that, I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, their focus will be fully on the Champions League for now, I'm sure. You know, making sure they do everything to get into that final. And then, as you say, the league will kind of take care of itself, I think, with their run. And they'll have more than enough games to get it done. Mm-hmm. Right then. So yeah, Real Sociedad had losing ground in the European race. As for Betis, they had the big derby, thinking they could beat Sevilla and close that gap once more. But as it was, they could only draw. Isco's penalty in the first half, which for me was quite harsh on Luca Bacchio handball. That was cancelled out by Quique Salas in the second half, header from a corner. Again, your usual drama. Another penalty was cancelled for Betis. Plenty of yellow cards, plenty of shenanigans towards the end of the game. Probably a good job Chimi Ávila wasn't involved in this one. But it means that Betis are now 11 derbies without a win in La Liga. It's a pretty terrible record when you think of the quality of the side that Betis have had, particularly in recent years. I know Sevilla were great under Lopetegui for a few seasons, but in the last couple, you would have thought Betis would have been able to beat Sevilla at least once.
Yeah, it is definitely a shocking stat, we could say, because if you come to think about it, Betis in recent years, as you mentioned, have had some really strong squads, and Sevilla have had their ups and downs, you know, so maybe a win here or there would have made sense, but they just seem incapable. And as you said, they got quite a big handful of help from the referee, in my opinion, in this one, because that penalty was quite shocking, to be honest. I mean, Luca Bacchio had his part of his arm stuck to his body. It's true that his hand was a bit extended, but it was, you know, he was turning around like from a backwards position, and he wasn't even looking at the ball, and it just unluckily hits him in the hand. And the penalty is given. I mean, you can never give a penalty for that, especially having VAR. I mean, make the referee come and look at it, you know, and review it, because that's just way too harsh, in my opinion. There's a pretty similar example not so long ago, which was that Barça-Villarreal 3-3 game, where in the 80-something minute, Gundogan crossed or shot the ball, and then Comesaña was jumping, also turns his back towards Gundogan, and the ball hits him in the arm, which was also right next to his body, you know, stuck to his body, and no penalty was given. So I mean, what is the rule here? Is that a penalty? Is that not a penalty? I mean, if you have VAR, even if it's not clear and whatever, I mean, the ref should be able to use the tool, you know, and to check these things, because I can't believe how badly VAR is being used nowadays. It's incredible, because we do see certain examples where it's incredible and then they do it really well, blah, blah, blah. But so many times where they're either not using it right, or either the people at the VAR are not doing the right thing. I know, it's just kind of crazy how you have a tool that should help you, but in the end, you're making more and more mistakes. And sorry, I just kind of completely changed the topic of conversation. But yeah, as you said, this game in the end wasn't as exciting as maybe as other derbies we've seen in the past from down there in Andalucía, between these two clubs who've had some really intense fights. But yeah, I think Betis in the end were probably the better team, because playing at home, I guess they have the extra push. Also, they have the extra motivation to fight for those European positions, whereas Sevilla are safe practically. They have not much more to do. I guess it's also the honor of playing against local team Betis, but aside from that, they just had nothing to really fight for compared to Betis.
Mm. Yeah, four consecutive draws in the derby. You're right to talk about VAR, though, because the referee assessor body, the referee association, I should say, they came out today or this weekend and admitted that in at least four or five occasions they have made errors in terms of drawing the lines for the offsides across Primera and Segunda. So,
and if they admitted to four or five, just imagine how many they haven't admitted to. So maybe it was four or five that they said, but probably it was maybe 10 or 15.
Potentially, we don't know for sure, but at least on those occasions, you know, that's a decision which could have led to a goal or goal disallowed when it shouldn't have been. So potentially game-changing moments there they've admitted they've got wrong. So it's a bit like the opposite of this goal line technology we had last week. If the technology is there and we don't use it, why don't we use it? But yet, if we're using it and we're getting it wrong, why are we bothering, kind of thing? It's if we just accept that some tight offside calls will be called wrong by linesmen because the naked eye is fallible, we should probably be prepared to accept that. And if we've got all this, the time and the effort that it goes to go through the VAR process and draw the lines, and we're still getting it wrong on at least a few occasions, that, in my opinion, isn't good for the game. Anyway, let's leave it there for now. We'll be back after the break to talk about the rest of the matches, including some really big results at the top and bottom. So join us after this short break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. Match day 33 is almost in the books. One more game left, of course, Barça against Valencia on Monday night. But the other side from Catalunya continued their strong season. Girona going to Las Palmas and winning 2-0. This was a fun game with penalties missed for both sides. First of all, Sandro had his penalty saved by Gazzaniga's face, I believe it was, before Dubic was also denied by Vallas before David Lopez converted the rebound, giving Girona the lead. In the second half, Dovbik had his chance to score from the spot, and he did do to keep himself at the top of the Pichichi standings. Yet again, I mean, we spoke about Las Palmas being on the beach for weeks now, really consolidated in mid-table, no threats either way of challenging for Europe or any lingering relegation trouble. Girona, though, another step closer to the dream, as Michel put it on social media. 71 points now they've got from 33 games. They are now 13 points clear of Athletic in fifth, with only 15 points remaining. So again, do the maths. Girona need just one win to qualify for the Champions League, which would be an absolute historic achievement for them. Incidentally, their next match is at home to Barca. So how fitting would it be if they were to win that one and seal qualification for the Champions League? That would be quite some story. But anyway, this game in particular, Girona For them, quite a rare 2-0. It's not often that they keep a clean sheet, it's fair to say. And normally they tend to score a few more, but a nice 2-0 win for them. Goal in each half. Happy days. Go back to Catalonia with the dream almost made true.
Yeah, it's funny. We thought that the fight was for the fourth position between Atleti and Athletic, but the real fight is in for the second position, I think, between Girona and Barça at the moment. We'll have to see how Barça do against Valencia and react to Xavi's unexpected renovation. But meanwhile, you know, Girona are getting the job done, which is what they needed. Got a win against a team that, as we said, has kind of been, dropping down, losing game after game, kind of completely lost the form they had, you know, and they were such a surprising team for most part of the season. They were one of my surprises, we could say, for this campaign. But now I can't say the same thing, because honestly, Las Palmas aren't doing as well lately, unfortunately. But as you said, practically salvation is guaranteed. I mean, we know which three teams are going to go down. So in that sense, Las Palmas aren't really fighting for that much. But yeah, I mean, even missing penalties and all that is not a good look, especially against in front of the home fans. Whereas, yeah, Girona, just so close to the Champions League. I mean, it's a matter of time they're going to make it there. And only time will tell if they can actually stay in that second spot that they've gained right now at this moment in time. And I mean, incredible campaign from Micho and the team. And also there's a problem with Girona if they actually play European football next season, because apparently they can't do so in their stadium for some reason. I don't know what it was. It was something in terms of how the stadium is built or the capacity or something. And they're trying to solve it, but they don't want to build over the stadium for some reason. They don't want to increase the capacity. And they're considering going to play in Barcelona at some point, which is quite strange. So we'll have to see how that turns out. But I mean, Girona fans, trust me, don't want to go down to Barcelona every week or every few weeks to see the team play Champions League football or European football or whatever, you know. So I mean, I hope they find a solution for that, because it would be quite disappointing having made it so far, having, you know, reached this epic moment, and then you can't really enjoy it in your own stadium where you always see your team play. Would be a bit sad. Yeah,
definitely, I guess. But I suppose if Girona make it indeed to the Champions League, I think their fans would go to the moon and back to watch them. Probably, but yeah, just on Las Palmas, six defeats in a row now, and they have scored one goal in that run. So very much bottom of the form table right now. And yeah, they're just counting down the matches until they can just switch off for the summer. But yeah, nonetheless, a really impressive season from them, having won 10 games in pretty much the first half of the season and reaching almost 40 points without problems. Right then, next, let's go to the form team of the league, which is probably Villarreal. Just one defeat in 13 for them under Marcelino. A very impressive 3-0 victory for them today against Rayo. Alexander Chorlot, again, his charge for the Pichichi is well and truly alive. He got two either side of Mosquera's first goal in La Liga. But the star man in this one was undoubtedly Alex Baena.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that it maybe took longer than we expected for Villarreal to react under Marcelino, but now it's kind of happening, you know, and they're even pretty close to getting that shot at European positions, you know, because, I mean, currently they're on 45 points in ninth spot, and then you have Betis in seventh with 49. So, I mean, 4 points isn't crazy. You know, it's true that Valencia have a game in hand, they can go up to 50, but we were talking about Villarreal that were like kind of pretty close to relegation at that point, and here they are now fighting for something else, you know. So yeah, they're in really good form. As you said, Baena was probably the standout player in that game. Sorloth keeps scoring goals. I mean, in general, you can see that the players are beginning to feel more confident. Mosquera getting, I think it was his first goal as a Villarreal player. And the team is clicking, it's doing what it has to do, and if it can keep this up, as I said, maybe Europe is a slight possibility.
Definitely on the cards. It's still quite amusing that Villarreal's goal difference is still negative after this incredible run they've been on. Just goes to show how leaky they were under Setien and then Pacheta. Baena's got to start for... Well, I say got to start. He's got to be high up on the list for De La Fuente, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very talented player, especially, well, obviously, offensively speaking. He can score, but he can also provide... He can also play in different positions, you know, in attack. So, I mean, he's definitely going to be tempted to bring him if he keeps this up. I mean, there's still... these games left for La Liga are still an opportunity for players like Baena to prove themselves, you know, to tell or to show Luis de la Fuente that they want to play. They have the quality and the level. So he's definitely going to be in his first short list of, I don't know, 30, 40 players, whatever. He's probably going to be in there, yeah.
We shall see. Right, let's talk about poor Almeria then, because their relegation was confirmed, five games out from the end of the season. Pitiful season, just the one victory. 14 solitary points. 17 adrift of Celta with only 15 to go, which of course means their relegation is confirmed. They lost another game this time, 3-1 at home to Getafe. Got a red card as well late on, just to compound the misery. For Getafe, it was a very good result. Greenwood was pretty inspired. You know, my thoughts on Greenwood, but on the pitch at least, he had a good game, two goals and an assist. Jaime Mata with one for himself. Again, your thoughts on Almeria overall? We're just never going to stay up, were they?
Yeah, Almeria. I think we've been given them for dead for months now. I mean, they always look so poor. Even after changing manager, nothing really improved. And even when they tried their best, because we have mentioned that against the big teams, Barca, Madrid, etc., they had really good performances and they probably deserved a bit more. But it was always, they always died trying, you know? I mean, they really didn't manage to achieve their goals in these tougher games, and not even against their weaker opponents who they had to beat, supposedly. And this game was also a reflection of that, where they actually had 21 shots, 11 on target, whereas Getafe had 8 and only 5 on target, and Getafe's got 3 goals, and Almeria got 1 goal, you know what I mean? So they put in a lot of effort, Almeria, but it never really pays off anyway. So it felt like this had to happen. They need to go down. They need to reflect on what went down here in this season and kind of rebuild and hope to come back again stronger and with a different mentality, maybe, because it's been a really, really, really tough season for the players and also for the fans, let's not forget.
Indeed, yeah. Sorry to see them go. A team from Andalusia could, of course, be three Andalusian sides relegated, as Granada and Cadiz are still in that bottom three. But before we touch on Granada and Cadiz, let's talk about Alaves, because they had a thumping 3-0 victory over Celta. All the goals scored in the second half. Giuliano Simeone, yes, another one of Diego's offspring. He scored his first goal, followed by John Guridi with his first, before Carlos Benavidez made it 3 towards the end. Celta still made to sweat, only 5 points clear of the drop. Probably should be enough, but again, it's still not certain, so they're going to have to keep fighting. But a word on Alaves, because they've been really impressive of late, back-to-back wins, beating Atleti last weekend. And they're now on 38 points, higher than Las Palmas, for example, and with an outside chance of finishing in the top half this season. So for another one of the promoted sides, Alaves have done really, really quite well.
Yeah, Alaves have done really well. And overall, we could say this season so far, of course, the objective in the end was to sustain themselves, you know, in Primera División, in La Liga, and they're going to achieve their goal, which is very important. And I mean, this win gives, as you said, Cadiz, well, Granada, I mean, Granada are not going to save themselves, let's be realistic, but it gives Cadiz maybe a slight, tiny wee bit of hope in fighting for staying up in first division, because of course Celta, with a win against Alaves, would have practically, I think, done it, you know. But no, they played really poorly against Alaves. And it makes you think whether that change of letting Rafa Benitez go was actually the right one, because not much has changed, to be honest, regarding what Celta are doing with the new manager. I mean, they have had certain games where they have looked decent, but there isn't any consistency, and I mean, it was a risky bet. But well, as you said, they still have that gap. Celta and Vigo, they should have enough, and I don't think they will get relegated. For me, the bottom three are going to stay at the bottom, and it's going to be like that.
I would tend to agree, but let's try and make the case. Celta's next three games, Villarreal at home, tough. Atleti away, probably impossible, you'd imagine. Athletic at home, probably tough too. That could be three defeats in a row. Cadiz, I mean, okay, they've got Real Madrid next, fine. But they've got Getafe, they've got Sevilla, Las Palmas and Almeria. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Cadiz could get maybe three wins in there. And that could leave Celta in real, real peril going into the final couple of match days.
No, I mean, definitely. But then Celta have Granada, which for me are easily doable. And, well, it's true that the other four game, Valencia is a tough one also. I mean, anything can happen.
You never know. You never know.
You never know. You're right. I hadn't really looked at the fixtures, and that could change everything. But I just don't see Cadiz winning that many points, seeing how they have been so inconsistent throughout the season, unless they get this extra boost of motivation to survive. I just don't think there will be enough to catch up. But maybe, as you said, there will be that close call towards the end, and maybe we'll be thinking, oh, careful, Celta.
Mm. I'm basically saying, listeners, don't switch off completely just yet, because there is still a few things to be decided, and until it's done, you never know. So yeah, kudos Alaves, Celta, be careful. Cadiz themselves had to come from behind to get a point against Mallorca. Vedat Muriqi opened the scoring before Mascarell's own goal gave a share of the points to Cadiz. Again, you would have thought this would have been one Cadiz would have looked at and said, yep, we can win this one, if they were to really give themselves a chance. And also, had they won this, it drags Mallorca in two. So there's still a 6-point gap between Mallorca and Cadiz. But you never know. If Cadiz can get a couple of results, if Madrid are distracted in between the legs against Bayern, stranger things have happened, right? Cadiz could shock the Bernabeu, and then suddenly Mallorca and Celta are like, oh, hang on a minute, we need to do our homework here. But yeah, just a point apiece here.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was thinking before, it was like probably one of the more boring relegation fights I can remember in maybe a decade. You know, you always had 2, 3, 4, sometimes even 5, 6 teams, you know, fighting to survive. And this season, it's felt like for a long time, like it's been, obviously, Almeria relegated a long time ago, and then Granada and Cadiz, it feels like they're going down. But as you said, it could happen that at the end, Cadiz get a shot at salvation. But if they can't win a game like this against Mallorca at home, with a Mallorca that also has really not much to fight for, of course they want to get points because they don't want to get dragged down, but it wasn't life or death for them at this stage, and it was for Cadiz. So that's why I just can't trust Cadiz that much for more from now till the end of the season. And they just don't have that much in attack. Defensively, it's true that they don't tend to concede too many goals, and that's maybe been a classic feat from Cadiz. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's going to be very, very complicated for them to find a little bit of hope.
Mm. Well, if they're struggling, Granada surely are 2-5 points behind. But they have won 2 of the last 3, taking 7 points from 9. 2-0 win over Alaves, 1-1 draw at San Mamés, and then 3-0 over Osasuna. Very impressive result. Baystri, Uzuni and Lucas Boye with the goals for Sandoval's side. They are showing some fight. It's a little too late. Half of their league victories coming in the last fortnight. But again, they're mathematically not done yet.
Yeah, there's definitely a reaction there with 2 wins and a draw in the last 3. And if only that had come a bit sooner this season, you know, maybe I would give them some hope here. But also, again, I just it's a massive gap. You know, it's 10 points they have to recover. And how many season match days are left? 5, I think it is. I mean, it's just a long way to go, you know, for them to recover 10 points after when a team has been doing things so badly for such a long period of time. It's very uncommon or unlikely that at the end they kind of turn this negative streak around and suddenly looks as such a reliable team, you know. So I mean, it's true that they're making an effort. At least it's good that you're going to go down with style, fighting for points, giving some happy moments to your fans, which in the end are the ones that enjoy the most your football. But as I said, I just don't think it's going to be enough.
Mm. Well, time will tell. As for time on this podcast, we have run out. So thank you very much, Roman, for your time and thoughts.
Thanks.
We'll be back in midweek. Well, you won't, but we will be back midweek to reflect on the first leg of the Champions League semi-final. Real Madrid in Munich to face Bayern. Massive match in the context of their season and any season. We'll also probably touch on Barca-Valencia's result, which will be Monday night. And then looking ahead to the next weekend of the Liga where, again, things could be confirmed. Girona, etc. Potentially relegations, maybe, depending on how results go. So yes, thank you, listeners. Subscribe llonline.substack.com for content all through the week. And until midweek, we'll say hasta luego.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.